Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
To Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Brian Malkowitz in the studio.
Hey.
And our guest, Paul Tassi from Forbes. Paul, how's it going today?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
No problem, dude. Thanks for, you know, jumping in last second. So a little behind the scenes. Brian is going to Gamescom today, basically.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
Well, I'm going to London first.
Yeah.
Going to London first.
You got to go. You got to pack. You got to go to London. It's a rough life. I'm going on Friday. We have lighting guys coming in tomorrow, so the studio spaces aren't available Wednesday and Thursday this week. CJ has betrayed us and gone to Bungie. We're losing CJ as a producer, yeah, so there's a lot going on. So the good news is you get an episode earlier in the week, this week. Next week, we're hoping to get Bungie on for an FTC while we're in Germany, so we'll be trying to get you that. Stay tuned for more. That'll be next week. And then I'll be back and you'll get jet lag, Destin. If I get a chance, because Luke released his thing today, that's largely what we're going to be reacting to. I will do a live stream on Thursday if I can, kind of going over the live stream that's happening tomorrow, the other two updates that Luke is going to be doing, Luke Smith. And
yeah. That's four. There's only two?
It's might be four total.
Three total.
Three total. Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Three total. Yeah. So two more, whatever. Lots of stuff happening this week ahead of Gamescom, both at IGN and with Bungie's announcements. Let's get into the reveal. Paul, what is the biggest talking point that you think you took away from this this note? You put it in there earlier.
It's hard to know where to even start. I'd say out of everything he talks about, it's 4,000 words. It's really long and awesome. I love that he did it.
Me too.
I'd say the biggest point out of that is he spends a lot of time talking about what went wrong with Season of the Drifter.
Yeah.
Like this whole thing is kind of like what they could have done better over the past year. And he talks a lot about kind of why Season of the Drifter was lacking in all these different areas and kind of an exploration of how that happened. And it's kind of a fascinating look behind the process, because like we all kind of agree that it was bad, but like to pinpoint why it was bad so specifically is interesting to hear coming from him specifically.
Yeah, I won't speak for Paul, but we largely like Gambit, right, Brian?
Yeah, Gambit's great, and there's nothing wrong with Gambit.
But dedicating an entire quarter of your game's release to one mode, and the Reckoning was in there, but the Reckoning gave you stuff specifically for Gambit.
Exactly.
And it is really, really cool to see Luke Smith kind of go back and be like, yeah, we kind of messed up here, and here's why Reckoning happened and everything. So overall, I just want to say at the top of the show that I absolutely love that they're doing this open, clear communication about their struggles internally and just the openness. How did you like it, Paul? Do you like this level of transparency?
Yeah, I mean, I was joking in my summary article that like I could really write an article about every paragraph he said in that piece, because it's such condensed, interesting information kind of behind the scenes. And we have two more entries of this, which is just going to be massive. And it's not something you see from very many developers ever. Like you don't get this level of transparency. And I think that's important for both Bungie and the community, especially now that they're on their own.
Yeah. How do you feel about it, Brian?
I'll just say that I think for me, the biggest takeaway from this is that the whole 4,000 words to me just said, warlocks are broken and we're going to fix it sometime soon. And I feel like
he talked about WoW so much.
More than halfway through it, I was like, my God, we're getting nerfed. And like, it's probably, it probably makes sense. I mean, I feel a massive Well of Radiance and Luna Faction nerf coming on the horizon. Probably even Rally Barricades too. I mean, those are, he talks about, just infinitely unloading all of your weapons. So like, I'm just, I'm just kind of mentally preparing for the fact that Destiny itself is actually probably going to become a harder game.
Is a good thing. Did he mention Rally Barricade specifically?
No, he didn't mention Rally Barricade.
Because that is a timed buff for like 30 seconds, right? It's not like you can do it infinitely, though it is often.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so much that he mentioned Rally Barricades, but he mentioned being able to just stand in a spot and just unload your weapon like at your will and just keep going.
Mm-hmm. Which is why he said in retrospect they wouldn't have launched Whisper, but Whisper was launched at a time in Destiny's history
when we were feeling
where they had decimated our power level. We didn't feel powerful at all. And then that was sort of their, and that's a great mission. I love that mission.
Yeah, and which was fine for a time. Like Destiny, like they say, it's a live game. So, massive changes come to the game. We have to adapt and grow. It's still at its core, the game we know and love. So, just because we can't use Whisper of the Worm all the time to melt everything in the game doesn't make it a bad game.
Yeah. Paul, do you have any thoughts? Because I got one big question for you afterwards.
After my thoughts?
Yeah.
I interpret it the same way. I think a Luna Faction Rally Barricade nerf is coming. Mm-hmm. I mean, he pretty much says that they designed Reckoning around Phoenix Protocol Warlock, which is just wild to think about. And how can we, instead of nerfing that, how can we design something that's just so hard that you need this to get past it? And I think they realize that that's a bad philosophy, so they're not going to do that again. But What's your big question?
Okay, so the one question that even he asks in the post, and that, Paul, you brought up, the big takeaway is going to be, what are we going to land on? Gambit Prime or Standard Gambit as the mode that they're going to continue to give some love to? And I want to know what you guys would advise them to do, which mode you think is better. I'm really torn. I like Standard Gambit. I like that it's a match, and if you're tied up, it goes into tiebreaker. But I also
which is
like,
fine now, but it didn't used to be fine then because the final match wasn't a sudden death round.
They did not have a sudden death before, And it's actually made some of the challenges a bit tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Like throwing in enough motes or whatever it was. I actually ended up getting it. But it's a tougher challenge than it used to be because we used to not have Sudden Death. So we have that mode, the traditional mode, and then we have Gambit Prime. As you know, you kill a bunch of ads, and then you just go into this ungodly long boss battle phase, unless you're really on point with your team.
And you have your Well of Radiance and your Mountaintops.
Your Outbreak and Mountaintops, And you can get them on you can do it on the first, right?
Second stack,
you can pull it off. Anyway, so the question is, which one do you guys like more? And I'm going to throw it to Paul first because I can't answer this question easily.
I'm a little unequivocal in mine. Since they changed it to Sudden Death and regular Gambit, 1,000% regular Gambit.
Really?
Prime just continues to irk me, and I don't particularly like the whole armor set thing because I only grinded out one set for the thing, and I don't have any desire to do the other ones, and I kind of want to just use what I would normally use in terms of my build.
Paul,
it's
sorry,
mandatory.
Sorry to interrupt you for a second. You only did one set for Gambit. How many sets did you do for Solstice again?
Three, but that is much.
But that's different.
And you don't have to play the Reckoning.
That's fair. That's fair. Part. I just wanted to put that out there.
And I don't like the primeval phase at all in Gambit Prime. I think it's terrible. I think there's way too much invasion. I think it feels like you're making just tiny, tiny incremental progress until all of a sudden you just blow it up.
Yeah.
And it's just not enjoyable compared to regular for me. And I played a lot of regular, and I'm not anti-Gambit in the least, but if given the choice between Prime and regular, I am always going to play regular, even if it takes a little longer or whatever.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What if they adjusted that boss portion? Because I do agree wholeheartedly that the boss portion is what's not great about Gambit Prime. It's too much of a tug of war, right? Somehow they either need to extend the amount of time where you're killing ads and reduce the amount of time that you're just doing that tug of war around in the boss. But then there's people that are doing it on two stacks, if you really have it down. You wait for the invade, kill the invader, melt.
It could help, but then, there's still, issues with the invader sets and, locking down the bank, and, I'm not particularly a fan of motes draining and things like giant blockers, and it just, it overcomplicates things to the point where Gambit is complicated enough, and then I think this adds even more levels that didn't necessarily make it better, and so, I think Prime would take a lot more tuning to get it where I want it to be than regular Gambit would now. I think you can just change a little bit to regular Gambit and it would be all right. But Prime, I think there's a lot of work to do in Prime. And if the option is to just scrap it, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying in that respect. What about you, Brian?
I'm of the same mind as Paul that I think Gambit regular now is the superior mode with the addition of the sudden death round. My only issue with scrapping Gambit Prime now is you immediately devalue all the time and effort that a lot of people put into, you know, perfecting their armor and getting all that, and all that stuff by playing a lot of Reckoning. But the other issue of that too is if they move over and just do Gambit Prime only, then now you have a Gambit mode where if you don't have a full Gambit set on your team, you're probably going to lose in most of those cases. And then that just forces more people to play a mode that Bungie has outright said that maybe this wasn't the best design decision. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe making Gambit Prime the final and the only Gambit option is probably not the best route.
So listening to you guys lay it all out and just thinking about it from a resource need standpoint, in order for them to fix Gambit Prime, there are too many other things that would need to be changed, how motes drain. There's too many levels of complexity.
Yeah.
So I think resource-wise, they're probably going to look at how much of the player base is enjoying and playing Gambit. And honestly, I'm leaning towards standard Gambit personally also. Yeah, and just thinking for them internally, they're probably going to go standard Gambit. And it's the better mode.
It is the better mode, in our opinion. I'm sure there's a lot. I mean, I read Reddit. I've looked at a lot of people's thoughts on this. And a lot of people were saying that Gambit Prime is the one that they want.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, exactly. So that could help.
If there's an internet poll, I'm going to rig it.
Yeah, seriously.
Regular win.
I think it's on Bungie, too, to make sure that if they do go Gambit regular only, that they're going to have to retool the armor sets that they build with Gambit Prime to work with traditional Gambit. So that way, you know, all that stuff isn't devalued and maybe make it obtainable without the Reckoning.
Yeah, traditional Gambit would need love also. Like, it's not totally fantastic.
Both of them aren't perfect. They have their flaws in their own ways.
Yeah, and I think there are some ways that they could improve standard Gambit versus Gambit Prime. Because, yeah, Gambit Prime, I totally agree with you guys. That whole tug-of-war section is... It's annoying more than
it's
it
half
is
the
fun.
Game. It's so long.
Yeah.
It's too long. I think that part of it would be easy to tweak, right? But you start bringing in the armor set complication, and then it gets weird. Yep. All right. So what are some of the other things that they talked about?
Buffed scout rifles.
Right? Yeah.
We don't have to skip all the way
amazing.
Down.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They did talk about scout rifles, finally.
Yeah.
And Luke said he actually used it for one of the missions. And I was like, really?
Use what?
Scout rifle.
He was talking about distillation.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
I'm like,
nobody else but you, I guess.
You did? Because I used an AR that I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Or Arbalest. And like, yeah, I was just surprised to hear that he happened to use that one for that thing. Yeah. Buffed things like scout rifles, nerfs to mechanics that circumvent the ammo economy, refactoring of the way damage stacking rules work. We're going to talk about it in the next episode. So just for context, we're recording this. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's lunchtime.
We don't know.
He
didn't say when the next one's coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
Tomorrow, Wednesday.
By the end of the week, both parts are supposed to come out.
Cool.
Yeah. This week, the remainder will come up. They're going to have their live stream with all the new armor stuff. So that's why I might be doing a stream on Thursday to at least talk. Maybe you could. Well, you're going to be in Paris.
I'm not London. I'm not going to
London.
Definitely.
You'll be in London.
I'll be in London. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brian won't be on. Maybe I can get Paul to call back in at the end of the week. We'll see.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that's going on. Largely, my takeaway is that this is great. The best thing that I heard in this entire update was pursuits are not where they need to be.
Yeah.
They recognized it. They called it out. They said they're not internally happy about it. And it's kind of nice that they recognize. It does make me question. I'm just like, at some point you were happy with this and you pushed it out?
Yeah.
Why don't you just keep it in the oven a little longer? Mm-hmm. That's what I don't get. You guys have
that
any thoughts
such a
on
sad
prison?
Section where he's like, don't look at Reddit.
Yeah, don't look at Reddit.
Everyone
please don't
sad.
Look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, it is weird because like it's I don't know how they missed the mark on that kind of so widely when it came out to kind of universal hate. The new redesign they showed looks cool. I like the bounties being their own little category that you can just kind of click through and they're not their own things.
Yeah.
And if things stop moving around all the time, that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not opposed to the idea of like a pursuits tab like that, but the way it was handled was not good. I'm hoping it's a little easier to get to on console with all the menu lag, and I know PC is getting a hotkey for it, so that's
yeah.
Awesome,
I'm stoked
PC
about that.
PC wins again.
Yep, yeah, always do.
For sure. They did talk about the storefront and microtransactions also. So getting to hear a little bit about the Whisper, Brian, why don't you read that part?
Which one?
This part right here that it's pointed at.
The for example one?
Yeah.
For example, Whisper of the Worms ornaments were successful enough that it paid dev cost wise for the zero hour mission rewards to be constructed.
Yeah. And they were frank about, hey, here's the allocation of funds to mm-hmm. where your microtransaction costs are going.
Which I think Bungie was open about those sorts of things. Even in Destiny 1, they were like, hey, these events and their microtransactions
he rephrased it.
In events in the future.
He rephrased it because there was this super long drought where they had microtransactions in the game and nothing
came of it.
We're talking
between Taken King and, yeah. and Rise of Iron.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. longest drought in Destiny history.
Well, there was that. And then from Destiny 2 launch until Black Armory, basically,
they had Curse of Osiris and they had Warmind mm-hmm. and then...
Sort of. But this is the...
If we're counting those as drops.
This is great. Well, no, those were paid for content expansions. Yeah. To see it in writing that they are going to develop into that is interesting.
Yeah.
They are utilizing those funds to develop further experiences.
I will say, as much as it might hurt people to hear me say it, is when he says things like this, it entices me more to maybe open my wallet to microtransactions mm-hmm. if it is actually funding things like Zero Hour and Whisper of the Worm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I buy all the ornaments every time there's a.
Yeah, I might, really? Yeah, exactly. I might get a lot of like hatred for it, but it's like if it's actually making them able to create those things, then why not?
Especially now that they're independent. I mean, not that they're like a charity or something.
Of course. But, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do not like the development philosophy of creating a store that incentivizes you. I do like the idea of directly purchasable pieces of content. I do like mm-hmm. that. Like, oh yeah, I want to do the raid. Like I can do that. Or you can just buy a bundle with everything enclosed. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of like ornaments that then may or may not go towards the development of a new thing. Cause we don't really know
what we're supporting when we buy those things.
It's all a little mysterious still. So I'm still a little, I don't know. They did talk about how the storefront's going to evolve a bit more. Paul, do you want to dive into that for us and just like some of the strategies in the notes?
Is that the part where it's talking about
the storefront is going to get another round of enhancements.
Oh yeah. The storefront's going to get another round of enhancements this fall too. Mm-hmm. We're going to move it to the director. So you don't have to go to the tower. We're giving it some class-specific content. For instance, if you are at 3/5 of the Optimacy set on your Titan, the cost to finish the set in silver will be reduced 60%.
Yeah, that's a separate topic. Sorry, I'm just kind of... I kind of put notes all together about how they're evolving the
I thought
the
you were
economy.
Telling me to read the section.
No, you're doing fine. It's my bad on correlating those two together.
Well, generally, I think they're trying to separate out cosmetics and power like for good now, because when they used to sell armor, they would still have roles, and then they famously said that they were designing them to have garbage roles on them.
Which makes me think why would I ever use it if you're intentionally putting bad roles on it?
Exactly. Yeah. So that, and that's what I was always saying, they should just take armor out of the store if they're going to have it like this, because what's the point? But now if they're completely separating the cosmetic look of armor and just making them ornaments, then I can see why they're doing that now. And also he mentions the fact that they're separating even like the cosmetic of an execution move with whatever the execution move does, whether that's giving your team ammo or something, like those are going to be two separate things. So now there's not really going to be anything in the store with any sort of roles or effects on gameplay that I can tell. Mm-hmm. Like they're fully divorcing themselves.
Which
from
is good.
That.
Mm-hmm.
How much bright dust do you guys have right now?
I have a little over 30,000.
Yep. I bought 60. You got 60?
60 Bright Dust or 60,000?
I bought the Void 60, and Solar.
Oh, wow.
I bought the Solar one and I didn't like it, so I bought the Void one. I would have 35. I don't think I'm going to get
I have 45 because I spent the 15 on the things.
I'm so tempted to get the Ark one, but I'm just like, I'm never going to wear this armor. I'm going to get some other armor I like in like a month. Why am I spending my Bright Dust on these?
I don't know, man. The armor's pretty cool, especially with the glows.
It is cool. You really think you're going to be wearing that in a year?
A year? No, but in the next like 3 months, sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean,
I spent 40 hours on it. I got to get some of these.
Yeah, you did all
three. As good as possible.
You did all three. Yeah. Some other stuff they talked about. We're continuing to try and separate Capability slash gameplay from Vanity, Armor 2.0, and Universal Ornaments are big parts of this separation. This is why finisher perks are mods that can be socketed into equipment so that their aesthetic can stand alone, which is what Paul was getting at 2 seconds ago. And that's good to hear. Yep. I like hearing that they're still keeping that philosophy of keeping paid stuff away from gameplay stuff. Mm-hmm. That's how it needs to be. They also talked about Menagerie. Brian, what did they say about Menagerie?
That it was probably the worst thing that came to Destiny.
That's not what they said at all.
They said that the Menagerie is great. It's on a topic. Or you want me to read that part right there?
You can read it if you want, or just, yeah, I know you read the
Menagerie. It's great. We want to do more activities like this, but in the context of what we learned in that way, yeah, it can better support over the long term.
Yeah.
They were also saying,
additionally, you know, don't expect it in Shadowkeep.
Yes, yes. They were, they were also comparing it a lot to like a mode, and he went on a lot about Escalation Protocol and how that was like a great base for things like, mm-hmm, like the Menagerie.
Yeah, it was like sort of organic. It was annoying that you had to do like the matchmaking thing, but like they recognized that they were on to something.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that happens. You know, we get something and then they evolve on it, and it just gets better over time. So,
Paul, did you like EP Escalation Protocol?
Well, so back in Warmind, I skipped it because I the whole matchmaking thing and like jumping in and out of groups, like that was too annoying to me. So I mostly skipped EP, because this was back also when EP was a lot easier to fail when you weren't
right,
like, way over leveled for it. So I didn't come back to EP until essentially this summer when I was doing the Wayfarer grind, and I played a ton of it this summer. So, and it's really fun because you can beat it with three or four people now.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you never experienced Ikelos in its strongest.
I did not. Man,
I still
rock. What a Ikelos. Beast of a gun that was.
Yeah, it's still good, but
it's still great. Yeah, but I mean, back then. Whew. Yeah.
Well, now you go for the primary shoddy from the raid.
Threat level.
Yeah, threat level. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that was good to hear. Menagerie, don't expect it in Shadowkeep because they're learning the lessons from it now. Yeah. So whatever comes after Shadowkeep is going.
And
to
I'm
be
sure Shadowkeep has a lot of stuff in there.
What do you mean don't expect it in Shadowkeep? Don't expect another 6-man activity, or don't expect anyone to play Menagerie.
Well, he said something along the lines of the fact that he's learning lessons from it still, so they didn't necessarily implement a similar activity to that. So,
oh, like a new activity.
Yeah, he talked about how design wise that often feels like a step backwards to the community, but it's actually just because they didn't actually get to like collect data and like see how
they didn't have enough time to collect data because Shadowkeep
was developing.
Still happening.
Wow.
Exactly. And finally, he had 2 points. He said, he was talking about some of the good stuff that they'd done recently. He said, I'm always going to focus on opportunities for improvement rather than celebration. So don't expect him to be patting himself on his own back during these updates. He's going to be looking at lessons learned and how to improve in the future. Mm-hmm. And going forward, they're going to be talking about stuff like supers and PvP in Destiny 2 armor, stats, mods, and trade-off powerful sources, prime engrams, and the world damage numbers, damage stacking rules, and more. And that's about everything for the first update. So, all in all, run us down all of your takeaways from this, Paul. Like,
I would
say, trying to wrap my brain around it.
They've learned probably the most from Reckoning and Gambit Prime and the Season of the Drifter, and they're going to avoid a lot of those design mistakes. And like, they call them design mistakes like, very clearly. So I think they know what not to do. I think they've learned, the takeaway I get is that they definitely know people like working towards specific loot, whether that's Black Armory roles or Menagerie Chalice roles. So I think they're going to do more specific grinds like that in the future. Microtransaction stuff, I guess we'll see. It'll be purely cosmetic, but they're not probably going to be as generous with the cosmetics as they used to be. But all in all, I mean, I appreciate this kind of honesty. I'm really looking forward to the next two parts of this and the armor stream to see all the stuff that's coming and what they did learn. So I think it's going to be a fascinating week.
Yeah, there's so much more coming. Brian, what are your big takeaways?
Big takeaway, one, obviously, the Warlock nerf, Luna factions, shooting endlessly without having to reload. That's probably something that's going to, for better or worse, go away at some point. I don't think it's going to go away completely, but it's just going to be much different than what we have now. I think that going back to microtransactions, like you said, they're going to be a lot less generous with microtransactions, but I'm hoping that they don't, or sorry, with cosmetics with microtransactions. I'm hoping that they don't go away completely from having cosmetics earned through gameplay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like they're fully moving away from that, but there's very little ways to get cosmetics in the game through gameplay. Like, I think there's only one emote in the game that you can get through the gameplay, and that's a Spire of Stars emote. And that's, I guess that's not including the tribute hall emote that you can get if you get all 50 mm-hmm. tributes. But right now it's like, I have this feeling that come Shadowkeep, maybe there's not going to be a lot of cosmetics in the game outside of the storefront.
Yeah. My big takeaway is that this is great. I like hearing behind the scenes developer stuff. There's kind of a breath of fresh air when you hear that they are hearing us, what our complaints are, what challenges we're facing with the game. Also watching and seeing how we're sort of making the game too easy in some ways, like, sorry, Brian, but well is probably going to be adjusted.
Yeah, I mean, it's also fine. Like, it was it's the crunch. It's 100% a crunch.
It's time.
It's probably time. And, like, you know, just with Destiny 1, the Warlock crutch was self-res. They got rid of it in Destiny 2. We've moved on. We figured out a way to live without it. And well came along. Now we got used to it. We'll figure out a way to get on without that as well.
Here's the weird thing coming around the corner. We're about to get Shadowkeep right.
Yep.
We're going to be talking to them at Gamescom, and I, honest to God, I don't even know what to ask them. They're going to be doing armor 2.0 stream, right? So we're going to understand the new armor mechanic. We're going back to a location that we had in Destiny 1, the moon. Eris is coming back. There's a story plot line there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to ask. I think I kind of know what to expect, Like, I'm excited for Shadowkeep.
You can ask things that people want to know. Yeah. Is the Crota raid coming back?
They're not going to tell us that, though.
Of course not.
So it's like
Crota himself is coming back. We know that.
Yeah. So
nightmare Crota.
I'm largely taking a wait and see approach because this is going to be. I feel like it's going to be a dramatic change for what Destiny is.
Yeah.
How they deliver content. They said they're leaning more into the RPG mechanics and such. And he said at the top of his blog. I have it up here. We're making a lot of changes to Destiny 2 with Shadowkeep and New Light. We want Destiny 2 to be an amazing action MMO in a single evolving world. Single evolving world, by the way, that you can play anytime, anywhere with your friends. That's their content.
I'm just having this feeling with Shadowkeep that it's like a new title launch almost. Mm-hmm. Like so many changes are coming to the game that I feel like there's just like a new Destiny on the horizon.
To me, Shadowkeep is about breaking down all the barriers that have been built up through, you know, partnerships that didn't necessarily facilitate communication across platform.
Yeah.
And now I can play with my PlayStation friends. I can play with everybody but my Stadia friends. Because they're walled off.
They're walled
still,
off in their little corner.
How many Stadia friends do you have?
Zero. I might.
I know
I'll play on Stadia for a future.
Stadia. That's the only person I know that.
If I could, I gotta do a little bit of research. But once Stadia comes out, if I can't put my save there and then take it out,
well, I think you're supposed to, right?
You can.
Is it supposed to work?
It's not crossplay, but you can you can jump your account between Stadia.
Aren't they setting it up to where you do it one time per platform and you're never having to transfer saves ever again?
For everything else, that's how it works. So. Stadia is being weird.
Oh,
I gotta do a little bit more. I gotta do a little bit more research on the Stadia thing. So I'm really cautious because what's that player base going to be like? Anyway,
the least popular for more. Sure.
The fact that it doesn't play with PC is just bizarre to me.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense because they're clearly running on PC architecture.
They want Stadia to be its own platform.
Sure.
Yeah,
I would buy. I would get Stadia second if I knew my PC account played with other PC players.
Oh yeah,
that is the one that is sort of a weird gray area to me. Yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. When you play on Stadia, you only play with other Stadia owners. The fact that it doesn't play with PC is weird roadblock. Anyway, that's everything. Those are my takeaways. This is largely a reaction piece. I want to make sure you guys had an episode of Fireteam Chat. And thank you, Paul, for answering the call last second. I hate you. I'm hey, you want to do an episode tomorrow?
I'm always here. I'm free. So,
great. We really, really appreciate it. And Brian, you're heading out to London. Fly safe, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode, everybody. Stay tuned on Thursday. I'll try and do a live stream, try and get something together to talk about all the other news of the week before I fly out. That's it for this time. Until next time, everybody, Guardians out. You gotta own it, Paul. You gotta own it.
I didn't know if it was going to be delayed or not.
We'll get it in post.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.